week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Let's kick off with a Sunny Side of Sports salute to former England football captain David Beckham. The 44-year-old Beckham is the president and co-owner of Major League Soccer's new Inter-Miami team, and he recently announced a charity match to raise funds for coronavirus victims.
Hi, everyone. It's David here. I wanted to let you all know that I'm joining some great friends of mine in supporting an incredible campaign. I'm going all in on the All In Challenge to help raise much needed money for coronavirus relief. There are so many families being affected by this terrible situation who are struggling to find money for food, and we want to support some brilliant charities who are doing some incredible work every single day under such difficult circumstances. So, with my Inter Miami family, I want to offer you the chance to win a unique experience. You and four of your friends will play against my five-a-side team at the beautiful new Inter Miami training facility. After the game, we will have lunch together to gloat who has won and who lost, and you will then be invited to watch an Inter Miami game from the owner's suite with me and my good friend, managing owner Jorge Mas. You will get a VIP tour of our stadium to see the amazing facilities we have built for our new club. Miami is a very special place, and I know this will be an incredible experience. I think it will be a great day, so maybe you fancy your chances against my team. So let's see what you have got. Please go to allinchallenge.com to find out more, and please know that 100% of your donations will go to the relief efforts. I would like to nominate my former clubs, Manchester United, Real Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain, to join me and go all in for coronavirus relief. See you soon, and I can't wait to line up against the winner. Stay safe, everybody.
Once again, to find out more about David Beckham's coronavirus relief charity match, go to allinchallenge.com. Beckham's Miami team kicked off its inaugural Major League season last month with two losses on the road. Miami's first home match was supposed to be March 14th against Beckham's former MLS team, the Los Angeles Galaxy. But that game is now on hold after MLS suspended its season because of the coronavirus pandemic. And in case our Voice of America listeners are wondering, the nickname of Miami's new MLS team is the Herons. The birds, great white herons, are unique to South Florida, and there's a national wildlife refuge named after them in the Florida Keys. Miami's team crest features two white herons standing back to back, their legs intertwined to form a M shape. Just ahead, Samson Omale will have a package of African football news for us.
Kenya Premier League will remain suspended for at least the next 3 weeks after the country's government announced an extension on the coronavirus curfew. President Uhuru Kenyatta confirmed on Saturday that the East African country will extend their current restrictions by a further 21 days to help slow the spread of COVID-19. The league CEO Jack Ogunda said with the postponement, the earliest the KPL could return is in mid-May, and the option of the season being abandoned is one which will be considered. Staying with Kenya, FIFA has given the Football Kenya Federation a few more days to clear the debt owed to former coach Adel Amorushi. The Football Kenya Federation was ordered to pay Amorushi over $1 million by the Court of Arbitration for Sports last October after the Belgian GAFA reported a wrongful dismissal from his job as a head coach in 2014. He was sacked just 18 months into a five-year tenure following a 1-0 aggregate loss drops to Lesotho in a 2015 African Cup of Nations qualifier. And now to Egypt, where the head of the Egyptian Football Association's Competitions Committee admitted to the difficulty of completing the domestic season, but said he still hopes a solution could be found before it's too late. Football in the country has been suspended since mid-March due to the coronavirus pandemic, with just half the season played. With almost 150 matches still left to play in the Egyptian Premier League, Hassan Al-Zanati said resuming the competition will face several obstacles. Ivory Coast legend Didier Drogba has suffered a setback in his bid to become the next president of the Ivorian Football Federation after he garnered zero votes from members of the Association of Former Ivorian Footballers. Drogba is vying for the post, which is held by President Augustin Sidi Diallo. Didier Drogba will have another chance to get the endorsements he needs when members of the Active Footballers Association, the coaches, referees, and the physios also cast their votes. Elsewhere in Ghana, football administration in that country has come under scrutiny as football club owner Wilfred Kwaku Osai says there has not been any improvement in the affairs of Ghana football under new president Kurt Okraku. Kwaku Osai, who was disqualified from contesting the GFA presidential election, which saw Okraku come into office in October 2019, says nothing has changed under the new administration 6 months on.
A casual look at what is happening in the FA strongly indicates that my very good friend Kete Kwaku is not having a smooth sailing. So many decisions that have been taken that are debatable.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
40 greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. In the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Haiti. That's my VOA colleague, Haiti Fitzpatrick. Joining us with more sports news is Douglas Mpuga. And Douglas says football's world governing body tops his report.
FIFA, the world football governing body, has announced that it will release all operational funding due to member associations for the years 2019 and 2020 in the coming days. FIFA says this is the first step of a relief plan to assist the footballing community impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. This measure will mean about $150 million will be distributed among 211 national football governing bodies around the world. FIFA President Gianni Infantino says this is the first step of a far-reaching financial relief plan to respond to the emergency across the whole footballing community. According to this plan, FIFA will release $500,000 to each member association in the coming days, as well as any remaining entitlement for 2019 and 2020. Meanwhile, CAF has announced that following the postponement of the semifinals of the CAF inter-club competition due to COVID-19, the finals of the Total CAF Confederation Cup and Total CAF Champions League 2019-2020 has been put on hold until further notice. The inaugural inaugural One Match final for the two competitions was originally scheduled as follows. For the CAF Confederation Cup, it was May 24th, 2020 in Rabat, Morocco. And for the CAF Champions League, it was May 29th, 2020 in Douala, Cameroon. In athletics, the delayed London Marathon could feature elite athletes only. The London Marathon race director says that's one of the options being considered, and there could be even a further delay. The London Marathon was due to take place Sunday, but was moved to October 4th because of the coronavirus pandemic. Nearly 43,000 runners took part in 2019, while Eliud Kipchoge and Kenenisa Bekele are set to tussle it out in the 2020 elite men's race. The Tokyo Marathon went ahead last month with elite runners only on largely deserted streets. The Berlin Marathon also will not go ahead as planned on September 27th after Germany extended a ban on large-scale gatherings until October 24th. And in boxing, Mike Tyson says he's planning on boxing again, but it's not a comeback. At 53, Mike Tyson, the former undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, said he's training to fight exhibition matches for charity. When he was at the height of his boxing powers, Tyson was can't-miss viewing. Each time he stepped into the ring, there was the possibility of another brutal knockout, perhaps even within the first 30 seconds. He retired in 2005 after losing to Kevin McBride. He has since dabbled in acting, most notably playing himself in The Hangover, and voiced himself in the animated Mike Tyson Mysteries. He revealed during an Instagram interview recently that he has been training to fight again, not with a comeback bid in mind, but instead for a worth a pause. He said he wants to get in shape to be able to box three or four rounds exhibitions for some charities. Some charity exhibitions, make some money, help some homeless and drug affected people like me, he said. In 2012, Tyson, who has a record of 50 fights, losing 6 and winning 44 by knockout, founded the Mike Tyson Cares Foundation, whose mission is to give kids a fighting chance by funding centers that provide for comprehensive needs of children from broken homes. On November 22, 1986, when he was 20, he scored a second-round technical knockout of Trevor Burbick to become the youngest heavyweight champion in history by capturing the WBC title.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to Ndombolo and Makossa to Kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a Devil Commons Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
Thanks, Joshua. That's Uganda's world champion runner, Joshua Cheptegei. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Solomon Berega says he wants to try and break the 5,000 meters world record of Kenenisa Bekele, his Ethiopian countryman. In an interview with an Ethiopian radio station, Solomon said he was preparing for the Olympics, and unfortunately, due to the coronavirus pandemic, the games were postponed to 2021. Solomon says in an Olympic year, no one aims to break records, but now this year, 2020, has some space. Solomon Berega's personal best in the 5,000 meters is 12 minutes and 43.02 seconds from 2018. Kenenisa's world record is 12 minutes and 37.35 seconds from 2004. Meanwhile, Kenenisa Bekele was scheduled to challenge marathon world record holder Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya on Sunday in the London Marathon, but that race has been postponed to October 4th. The Basketball Africa League's global ambassador joins us now with an important message about hand washing during the coronavirus pandemic.
Hey everyone, this is Luol Deng, the ambassador of Basketball Africa League. Now, washing your hands has always been important, but never been as more important as now. What I like to do is turn the tap on, get your hand a little bit wet, turn the tap off. Put the soap in your hand while the tap is off. Start washing your hands. Make sure you get between your fingers, get your wrist, and get the other side of your hand, right? Keep washing your hand. Make sure your hand is as clean as it can be. We want to wash our hand for 20 to 30 seconds, right? Turn your tap back on. So you wash your hands, get in your wrist, and get in your hand. Now, the most important part, when you finish washing your hands, make sure you turn the tap off with your elbow. After you turn the tap off, let your hands dry or use a paper towel. All right? Be safe, everyone.
Thanks, Luol. That's Luol Deng, the Basketball Africa League's global ambassador. The National Basketball Association has pushed back the possible reopening date of some team practice facilities for at least a week until May 8th at the earliest. The league says the extra time is needed in part to make sure player training options would be safe and controlled in an effort to mitigate the threats caused by the coronavirus pandemic. And when those facilities reopen, the rules will be strict. And that May 8th date is far from firm. In a statement, the NBA warned that teams may push back this timing if developments warrant. NBA players are also still prohibited from working out at public health clubs, fitness centers, or gyms.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chika. Chika is the technical director of the Nigeria Taekwondo Federation. The coronavirus pandemic has halted sporting events across the globe and forced athletes into lockdown. But two British athletes have gone from climbing the walls to climbing Mount Everest inside their homes. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten has more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Former professional rugby player Ed Jackson is climbing to new heights for a good cause and in the comfort of his parents' home. This week, Jackson transformed a single staircase into the world's highest mountain to raise money for charity. It took him 4 days to climb over 5,500 flights of stairs stairs and scale the equivalent of Mount Everest. And if that wasn't challenging enough, he achieved that remarkable feat on one leg. 3 years ago, Jackson suffered a spinal cord injury that left him with no or partial use of his limbs. He has no sensation down the right side of his body, but he says the inability to feel pain could have been an added bonus for the rigorous climb. And over 89,000 steps later, Jackson reached the summit of Mount Everest.
I've loved it all. It's been painful. It's been monotonous. It's been boring at times, but most of the time, to be honest with you, it's been a lot of fun with all the people that got involved, and just seeing that fundraising total go way past where we ever sort of dreamed of has been pretty inspiring. And I'm glad that whenever this lockdown ends, I know that I've sort of done something positive, you know, and created some sort of positive out of this negative situation.
Jackson said he was inspired to scale an indoor Everest by British war veteran Tom Moore. Captain Moore, who turns 100 years old on Thursday, wanted to commemorate his upcoming birthday by walking 100 laps around his garden. In fact, Moore achieved his goal so far ahead of schedule, he extended the challenge to 200 laps. He raised more than $56 million U.S. dollars for Britain's National Health Service, and Captain Moore broke the Guinness World Record as the first ever to raise that much money on an individual charity walk. Ed Jackson says Moore's amazing achievement inspired him to set an equally monumental feat.
So I wanted to climb something, and I went in the other day and obviously saw Captain Tom doing what he's doing in his garden, and was pretty inspired by that and the fundraising that he had managed to do, and the positive he had managed to make out of a potentially negative situation. And I just thought, right, it's time to stop supporting from the sofa and try and pull my finger out and do something myself. And I thought I was going to climb the height of Snowdon up and down my parents' stairs, which would have taken until about lunchtime. But as the way my brain works, it soon escalated, and I've been camping in their living room for 4 days, climbing Everest, which I've just finished.
And it was all for a good cause. So far, Jackson says he's raised over $40,000 for the Spinal Cord Research Foundation, Wings for Life, and the NHS-affiliated charity Forever Friends.
So I haven't checked the latest total, but I think, with gift aid added on, I think we've raised 40 grand. So far, which is unbelievable, because I thought it was quite ambitious to go for 2 grand. So incredible.
And as Jackson celebrated his view from the top of Mount Everest with family and a bottle of champagne, he proclaimed a one-time climb was enough.
It's just been like a bizarre week, you know. It's like I was just going to climb up down my parents' stairs for a few hours, raise a couple of quid, and now it's like escalated a bit. So yeah, it's been great. It's been fun. I don't want to ever go up that flight of stairs again, though.
Jackson was not the only Briton who transformed his staircase into the highest mountain on Earth. Earlier this month, runner John Griffin climbed the height of Everest in 4 days and 41,000 steps. He raised over $4,000 for the Trussell Trust charity in support of food banks across the UK. And with the help of frozen peas taped to one knee to help with soreness, Griffin reached the summit in 29 hours. After ascending to his rooftop terrace for the final time, Griffin jokingly said he would swim the English Channel in his bathtub next. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. If you check out my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Basketball Hall of Famer George Gervin, who celebrated his 68th birthday on Monday. Gervin is shown in the photo shooting over two other basketball Hall of Famers, Jamal Wilkes and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I had one of my big sporting thrills 2 years ago in Johannesburg, South Africa, where I met Kareem at the Basketball Without Borders Africa Camp. As I told my friend Dan Friedel, I've never held a microphone higher than when I interviewed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And that wraps up the April 28th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.